We turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The text for the sermon is the verses 8 through 11, Christ's message to the church in Smyrna. We're going to start our reading towards the end of chapter 1, recalling the vision that was given to John on the Isle. We begin at verse 17, reading through to the 11th verse of chapter 2. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars and the seven and the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And the text for the sermon this evening. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Thus far we read from God's holy, inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation, as we continue our study of these seven churches which Christ visited in Asia, we will notice that there were two churches out of seven that received absolutely no rebukes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They are Philadelphia, the sixth church that's further down the road, and the church that we are considering tonight, the church in Smyrna. Smyrna is, on the other hand, greatly encouraged by Jesus Christ. And these are great, great encouragements for a church, you understand, which were in great need for them. Think about that, beloved. A church which receives nothing but great encouragements from the Lord. Don't we want to be like that, beloved? Or do we? Why ask those questions? Because the church at Smyrna suffered and suffered enormously. Like Ephesus, Smyrna was a great and a big city. She was, in fact, the home of the goddess Roma, the heart of Rome and Romish religion. When one goes against Diana of Ephesus, there is great danger already. But now when one goes against Roma and the favored religion of Rome, the strongest and most powerful world empire, there is far greater danger. Far greater danger for going against its favored gods, its favored religion of the state. Well, here in this godless city, God had his people. However, unlike Ephesus, which seemed to have little trouble maintaining some kind of respect from society around her, the church at Smyrna was poor. She was despised, she was persecuted, and she suffered enormously. And so, facing such great and enormous suffering, Jesus Christ greatly encouraged the church, the saints at Smyrna. For Smyrna, the sufferings were so enormous that they seem unthinkable and indeed unbearable to us. But you must understand, beloved, these letters to the seven churches in Asia are not for churches of the past. They are for the church of all ages, even the church today, even KPRC right here today in the year 2024. There are spiritual lessons here that the Church of Jesus Christ must learn, and must learn now and today rather than later. And as well, there are blessed reminders that the Church of Jesus Christ, that you and I must take heart and take heed to in the midst of our sufferings in Jesus Christ. Consider with me then Smyrna, the church greatly encouraged by Christ. Well, notice in the first place her enormous sufferings. Secondly, the spiritual lessons we derive from it. And we conclude with some blessed reminders. Now, it cannot be overstated and emphasized that the church at Smyrna experienced enormous sufferings. In particular, in verse 9, we read of three kinds of enormous sufferings that the church and her members there went through: tribulation, poverty, and then in the second half of verse 9, this: the blasphemy of them which say they were Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Let's take each one of these at a time. First of all, there is tribulation that God's people in Smyrna went through. And that word tribulation refers to persecution. And they received persecution on account of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read of no clear examples of tribulation or persecution in the passage, but we can surely make good educated guesses about the sorts of persecution that these saints in Smyrna endured. Smyrna, of course, was a thriving city, a beautiful city, a city that was every bit serious about the religion of Rome and the promotion of Caesar as a kind of a king god and Roma as a goddess. And so, one can imagine the evil men and idolaters of Smyrna who despised Christians, members of that dinky, small, little church in Smyrna, and therefore who were going all out to ruin them and to destroy them. Well, how specifically? In what way were they going all out to seek to the ruin of the members of the church in Smyrna? Perhaps something like this. If you were a baker who runs a bakery in downtown Smyrna, you might often find your bakery broken into and looted. You might find customers coming to you to find fault with the goods that you are selling. Maybe even your very own life would be in danger. Or if you were someone who was looking for a stable job that paid somewhat decently and wanted to work for the government there, you couldn't. You couldn't, that is, unless you would recant your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps if you wanted to keep your job, whatever job, you would have to forsake the truth and confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, that kind of hostile situation isn't a strange situation to us now, is it, in the year 2024? Are we unaware of the fact that Christians in Muslim countries often risk their lives to gather together for worship? And have been gunned down before in the midst of public worship? Do we not know that Christians in traditionally Buddhist countries are ostracized and alienated in society and have to endure all kinds of scorn and shame for confessing the Lord Jesus Christ? In recent times, of course, we are all aware, aren't we, of the great plight of our brothers and sisters in the churches in Myanmar. Also in other places, even the Indian government is hardly friendly, so to speak, to the Christian religion. The suffering of tribulation and persecution that the despised church and Christians in Smyrna experienced was in fact so severe that it caused the church and its members poverty. I know thy tribulation, says the Lord Jesus, and thy poverty. When we are despised and persecuted, we are undoubtedly going to lose social connections, so to speak, in society. Mothers who stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the way in which children are to be raised will be left out from the social network of mothers around the neighborhood. Bakers, barbers, bankers, businessmen who are not ashamed to wear their faith and love for the Lord Jesus Christ in public, who are not undercover Christians, who are not ashamed to confess Jesus Christ publicly, who do not practice the popular practices of the trade, so to speak, around them, who refuse to cave in to the demands of society around her, which would cause her to compromise her faith. These ones will face and have faced some kind of alienation and being ostracized. And of course, when we are alienated, when we are cut off from social circles, when we are ostracized, we are being persecuted. And we will be poor. That's the result. Poor on account of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His truths and His way of life which He requires of us, which we refuse to back down from. And that suffering from tribulation and persecution will not stop there. And it also will not stop with being ostracized and alienated so that poverty results, but also a third kind of suffering will arise and occur. This kind of suffering, quote, the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, what does the Apostle John mean by that lengthy description? Well, that word blasphemy refers to slander. It refers to hateful and false speech that is injurious to the good of one's name. It refers to an all-out assault, a murder of a person's character, through killing the person's reputation based on hatred, wretched wretched hatred. Well, the church at Smyrna, its members, were having their reputation assaulted. If these people in Smyrna can't get these Christians by hurting them physically, by making them poor and impoverished, by alienating and ostracizing them, they'll find some other ways to get at Christians. They will now have their reputation assaulted and destroyed. And we know, don't we, beloved, that kind of assault and attack has devastating results upon us. Sometimes those scars and wounds that come from such slander ruins us not just for a time, but could well ruin us all life long. We'll have to live with our reputation destroyed in the community that we live in. Those deep wounds and scars that the church at Smyrna had to endure, we are told, came from Jews. Equivalent in our day, of course, to professing Christians, professing believers out there, who are the most dangerous enemies of a church. The most dangerous enemy of the church is the enemy that is from within. They could, of course, now, the Christians in Smyrna, that is, could take heart to the Lord's clear and explicit description of them, that these Jews, so to speak, were not truly spiritual Jews. That these Jews, on the other hand, were hypocrites in the church of Jesus Christ. And the Lord makes that rather plain and explicit for the comfort of God's people in Smyrna, condemning these Jews by denouncing them in the strongest way possible. These people are not true Jews, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. They're serving him. In other words, though they were practicing religion, which taught of love and claimed to worship the God of love, and these people were proclaiming loudly with their lips, love, love, and love, these people had no true love for God. So also today, there is within the sphere of the church, churches which are playing church by name. They always talk about love, love, and love, but they really have no true love for the God of love. They have no true love for the biblical Christ. These are the ones who do most harm and injury to the true church, not only by way of its false doctrines, but also, and ironically, by its unloving, hateful treatment of all those who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you have it, beloved. The enormous sufferings of these faithful members of the church at Smyrna that they were going through. Tribulation, poverty, and their reputation being utterly ruined by other Christians around them. Or is that all? The answer is, that is not all. More was still to come. As the Lord Jesus Christ says to them in verse 10, note, fear none of these things that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And here, beloved, it's rather instructive for us to note what Jesus does not say to the suffering saints at Smyrna. Jesus does not say to them, well, the reason why you are suffering is because of your sin. You have sinned. As some today who preach a health and wealth gospel proclaim and teach. Those be of the synagogue of Satan. Nor does Jesus Christ even say to them, I'm so sorry.
for the sufferings that you are presently going through. I'm so sorry for all these things that have happened to you. Nor again does Jesus Christ say to the families and the loved ones left behind by those who have been killed and martyred on account of their faith in Him, I send you condolences. I write you a condolence letter that they died in me. And one might think that these Christians at the church in Smyrna have suffered so enormously and greatly already that Jesus Christ might now say to them, "Well done! You have suffered enough. I will stop sending sufferings to you." But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, absolutely none of these things to the saints at Smyrna. So what does Jesus say to these poor, suffering Christians at Smyrna? He says this, you are going to suffer more. More. You're going to be thrown into prison. That is going to happen to you. I guarantee it. You're going to suffer more tribulation yet. And you are going to suffer more tribulation yet for 10 days, he says. 10 days. Now understand though that that period of 10 days, especially considered in the book of Revelation, is not to be taken literally. Because the book of Revelation is a book about symbols and symbolism. This is not a literal 10 days that Jesus has in mind here. Rather, the number 10, you recall, is a number of fullness. Right, children? 10 is the number of fullness. 10 commandments. 10 plagues. Just right. Complete. Full. You take one commandment away from the 10 commandments and the law of God will be incomplete. You add one more commandment to God's law and the law of God would be corrupted. So 10 is the number that speaks of fullness, completeness. These beloved brethren in Smyrna had to suffer a complete amount of suffering. And that period will be short. Notice, days. 10 days. Not years. Not months. Not even weeks. But days. Those enormous sufferings, they will be given grace to bear. They will be given sufferings not beyond what they can bear. They will be cut short. Unlike the punishment of those who are blaspheming them, which will be eternal, unimaginable, and therefore far, far greater. So the question now comes, why? Why suffer? Why is there an amount of suffering that needs to be fulfilled and filled by the church at Smyrna and in fact all of God's children? In answer to that question, the Word of God gives us here spiritual lessons. Spiritual lessons we do well to learn now and today rather than later. 3 lessons here this evening. Spiritual lesson number 1 is this. Remember that God has a good purpose in our suffering. As we read in the text, that's the short for in order that, a purpose clause, that ye may be tried. The purpose of sufferings then is to try us. To try us as silver is tried by fire.
so that all the impurities of that metal, all the dross, all the gunk, remember the sermon on Ephesus, all the stuff that's blocking us and our vision of the Lord Jesus Christ gets removed, melted, burned away. Well, that's one way to put it. Another way to put it is that its sufferings are there so that we become more polished, more radiant, brighter Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, are you listening? Suffering is the polishing cloth of God that He uses on us to make us more radiant and bright children of His. That, beloved, is what is going on here. God is polishing His children so that they are shiny and radiant through trials and suffering. And here it needs to be said that the church undoubtedly, that Jesus Christ, although Jesus Christ undoubtedly tells us that it is the devil who will cast these Christians in Smyrna into prison, it is the risen Lord Jesus, the one who is at the right hand of God, who is in control. It's not the devil. It's Jesus who is in control. Satan here and his intent here is always to destroy and to ruin the church. However, God's purposes in Jesus Christ through trials that He gives to us is not to destroy us, even when He uses Satan, but rather it's for us to become more polished, more radiant, more shiny for the great God of our salvation. And shiny even unto death. Just as the first martyr of the New Testament church, Stephen's face was, it as recorded in Acts chapter 8. Children, you remember that, don't you? His face was bright and shiny, radiant. And that spiritual lesson number 2 to be learned by the church at Smyrna and to be learned by KPRC in the year 2024 in the midst of suffering. Be thou faithful unto death. So says the word of God to us tonight. And here is a good way of getting that idea of faithfulness across. Children, to be faithful is to be full of faith. You think of what your dad sees when he drives the car, when he's getting gas in the station. When the needle on the panel in the car goes all the way from E to F. Not half full, not three quarters full, not almost full, but full, full of faith. Like that gas gauge at the end of the, or the, at the, in the front of the car. Full of faith. When fully charged, a full tank of fuel. Only here this is spiritual fuel that is in the heart of the child of God. One who is full of grace and faith. In the midst of bearing our sufferings, Jesus teaches the church at Smyrna and teaches us tonight that we must be prepared to go all the way. To be prepared even before those great sufferings come. Beloved, understand that it will be too late to quick try to be prepared when those great sufferings are at our doorstep. And we don't know, do we, when exactly those great sufferings will come. You and I must be prepared now. You and I must train our children now to be prepared for these sufferings. Jesus is telling them and He's telling us about our future and great sufferings that we need to be prepared for spiritually, in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. Yes, He's telling you, young covenant children too, Children, are you listening? You need to be prepared for hard times. You need to learn to live with very little possessions that you have. You need to be prepared to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your heart close to Jesus, your mind attached to the Word of God, so that that Word guides you in all your thoughts, and that Word strengthens you in your will to do the right thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need to. We are all called to do this by our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's teach our children these spiritual lessons. Be thou faithful unto death. That is the instruction and that is the lesson of our Lord Jesus Christ for the church suffering enormously, the church in Smyrna. And then third, there is this wonderful spiritual lesson of the encouraging promises that Jesus Christ has for us in the way of our being faithful unto death. And there are two encouraging promises here in the text tonight. The first encouraging promise is this: be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, so says Jesus. Now understand that that crown is not the crown of kings and princes and queens. Rather, that crown is referring to the crown of a victor, a winner of a race. In human races, of course, there is only one crown and one winner in that race. But in running the race of faith and staying its course all the way to the finish, there are multiple crowns handed out. There is a crown for every single runner of that race who completes that race by the grace of God. That's the crown of life, the Stephanos, that is in view here in the text. There's a crown of life awaiting us. And not only that, there is also a second encouraging promise unto those who overcome by the grace of God every weight that doth so easily beset us, and is faithful unto death. And it is this: he may die, you and I may die, he will die the first death, but not the second. That's the second half of verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Because for him, the first death is nothing but a door, a swinging door, an entrance into Father's house of many mansions. A door unto sheer glory. However, for all who are apart from Jesus Christ, the first death is a door and entrance to outer darkness. And so our Lord Jesus Christ says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. And here it's good for us who are being taught to be faithful unto death to remember what Jesus teaches in this connection in the Gospels, namely in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, that's something that the suffering saints of the church at Smyrna surely learned and was brought with them as they suffered even unto death. As I am sure also Bishop and Minister Polycarp did, the minister of the church at Smyrna, possibly also at that time. Polycarp's story can be found in the very first chapter of the book written by Professor Henkel, We have a copy of that in the library. Portraits of Faithful Saints. And here I just want to briefly make a point of application to all of us that having such a book and reading such a book, immersing yourself in such a book, or other books like the classic Fox's Book of Martyrs, and having them in our homes is a good thing. Having our children being read the stories of the faithful saints who surely suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ is a good, wonderful thing to do. It has a wonderful sanctifying effect upon us and our children to read about the saints of the past who so devoted their lives to God, some of whom also and even unto death. These readings add a spiritual vitality unto our lives so that we become more sober, we become more spiritually prepared, we take things less for granted, and walk more seriously with the Lord Jesus Christ in our earthly walk of life. From spiritual lessons to be learned concerning suffering, to now blessed reminders concerning suffering given to the church at Smyrna and to the church of all ages, even to us here tonight. And there are three such blessed reminders for us tonight. And the first one is that the person who gives these great encouragements to us and these spiritual lessons as well to the church at Smyrna is no ordinary man nor martyr. He is the martyr of all martyrs. He is the martyr in whom all martyrs of the church derive their strength and power from. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end, who knows the beginning from the end. And he has overcome enormous, unimaginable suffering on the cross of Calvary especially, but all through his life. I speak, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is he who speaks these encouraging words to the suffering church here on earth. That's the first blessed reminder. It is he who has overcome and who speaks to those who will overcome by his grace. And what does he say? He says this, I know thy work. And that's the second blessed reminder to us this evening. He knows. I know thy sufferings. I know thy pain. I know thy tears. I know thy sorrow. I know thy faithfulness. I know thy works. I know, I understand, and I am touched by the feeling, the very feeling of your infirmities. He knows. That's our second blessed reminder. And then as a third blessed reminder, he says to us, those important words in the text that are in parentheses in verse 9. Did you see that, children? But thou art rich. Rich. Now, sometimes words that are not important and just a cursory thought are placed in parentheses. It's a passing thought, it needs to be captured, but it's just a passing thought, that's why it's in parentheses. But that's not the case here. Rather, they emphasize and provide all important great encouragement to the suffering saints of the church at Smyrna and the church of all ages, the persecuted church. Thou art rich. Rich. In other words, Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, is here saying, you may be despised and hated by the world and also hated greatly. You may be poor. You may have nothing earthly in your hands, and you may be persecuted people in the world. You may be rejected by your family, your friends, and society around you. Your reputation may be in utter ruins from the false, unjust accusations thrown against you. But know one thing, child of God. You are rich. And why are you rich? You are rich because you have me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I am your faithful high priest. I am your chief prophet and teacher. I am your Savior and Lord. I am the source of your salvation. Every blessing that comes to you, you have me. And when you have me, though you have nothing else, you are rich. You have peace. You have faith. You have hope. You have holiness. You have love. You are rich. Never forget that, especially in the midst of your suffering. To that church, that suffering church, bearing up under those sufferings faithfully, Jesus Christ has not one word of rebuke. Not because she had no sin, that's not the case, but because they were already suffering and suffering so very much and needed such great encouragement and reminders from the Lord Himself. And so, beloved, I close with the same questions I asked you at the beginning of the sermon. Do you want to be like the church in Smyrna? Do you still want to be like her, to receive nothing but great encouragements from the Lord? Do you? Or are you fearful and afraid of suffering? Am I fearful and afraid of sufferings and martyrdom? Ask Him for boldness to be faithful. Ask Him for grace to remain in first love to God always. And He will hear. He will grant you and me more and more that kind of grace and the faith that overcomes. Do you believe that? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Bless this word, O Lord. Use it to work in our hearts an urgency, realizing the late day and age we live in, that we live sober lives and that we lead such sober lives and teach by doctrine and by example, teach our children to live such lives even now in the midst of this world. Make us more and more to be prepared for the times which are going to come to pass here on earth before Jesus Christ comes again in judgment. Hear our prayer. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen.